Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the middle of the pack here on Saturdays. We just finished Doc Talk. Dr. Greg Roscoe over there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And after this great show, we got Standing Above the Crowd with James Donaldson. Tom Satch Sanders is on, that 8-time world champ, so that should be an interesting one. But that was in the past. That's in the future. This is now. This is the Sports Talk Saturdays podcast hosted by the trio. Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, California. Scott Morgan Roth in South Florida. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. Show goes by quick, and there's a lot of you on here. We'll get to you momentarily. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. As I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic. First of all, Bruce, how are you today?
Still waiting on the replay crew from Secaucus, Mark, and I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com. Also, I can be found on Facebook.
And that is a good way to find him. Boy, has he been picking up steam. As we give it over to you, Scott Morgan Roth, who tore up Tampa, making your debut there on Wednesday with Peter Blake and the gang. How are you today? How can people get a hold of you?
That was a tremendous amount of fun, Tampa, because I have a vested interest in the area since I used to live there. I graduated from here, South Florida. Getting a hold of me is easy. Go to Twitter, at Tribune South. You can also find my website, www.southfloridatribune.com. But more importantly, folks, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Mark and I have a lot of shows on there, so please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel and go to the website and Twitter. And there's a lot of different ways that you can find me. So, yeah, Tampa was a lot of fun. Looking forward to a lot more good things ahead, including the debut of Fire Up Wisconsin Monday night, Mark.
Yeah, and as we bring these topics around, I know Bruce is sitting there patiently ready with his topic, but I want to jumpstart this thing. And I've been beating the dead horse here in Los Angeles for quite a while. I'm not a big fan of it. I like to acknowledge Pittsburgh, raised in L.A., but I will tell you this, I said this years ago and people said, no, Mancini, you got it all wrong. This is a traditional ballpark and everything. I said this is a damn dump with a capital D, and Dodger Stadium is that. And now it's been solidified last week by the New York Mets that have called the place a dump. The video room smells like rat urine. And as I give it over to you, Bruce, you got to be happy as hell because things run in threes. If this place is a dump, if this thing smells like rat urine, you just kicked their ass last night in San Francisco. Any comment on this?
Well, I was last in Dodger Stadium about 2 or 3 years ago. I must say I like the location and all of that, and I didn't do the grand tour, so to speak, and I didn't see locker rooms or anything. I didn't see a problem with it except for the expensive prices. Of course, I'm very happy about the Giants kicking their butt yesterday. It was almost sort of like the Warriors. It was very much a must-win situation. Otherwise, the slide would have continued, and they would have gotten further behind because they're playing very mediocre baseball at best right now. I kind of like the history of it, but like Candlestick and sort of like the Coliseum, it is getting old. You don't like to see those kind of pirate parks get torn down, but, you know, I'm not a Dodger fan. So anytime that something gets slammed that's a L.A. Dodgers, I'm always happy with it. But those are statements made by professional athletes. I can't really give an honest opinion of what the locker rooms look like or smell like. That's the first comment I've heard from any team. You guys?
Well, here we go. Yeah. As I give it over to you, Scott, and Albert now coming in from Poway, and this guy always seems to come around, and Bruce knows him well, too, basically says, well, first of all, everything in San Francisco sucks. Dodger Stadium's a relic. As far as the guy in South Florida, I don't know him much, but I was at the Orange Bowl one. That's a dump. the Marlins are a complete dump, and anybody from Pittsburgh has got to be in the pits. God. Oh, wow. Albert from Poway. Why is this guy ringing us up at 9 in the morning out here on the West Coast?
And you got to ask yourself, if you were somebody from another town or something, he'd be calling that thing a dump.
I'll tell you, this show is the power of positivity, Mark. You really didn't give it a whole lot with all these dumps. But now, the Orange Bowl isn't a dump anymore because they have a new stadium. The problem with that stadium is it's in the wrong location. But, no, I don't know. I mean, I've only been to Dodger Stadium once for the 1984 Olympics. I enjoyed Candlestick Park when I saw the 49ers play, albeit they had to get a new stadium. I understand the times that you have to bring the amenities up to what they are. But, you know, what can you say? Stadiums get old, and, you know, some cities like to renovate them. Some of them like to start anew. So, you know, I mean, the only thing I know about Dodger Stadium is I had a cousin of mine back during the 84 Olympics when I went there for – I got lost outside the stadium. My cousin went out there and lectured me and wouldn't take me out to a nice place in Beverly Hills. It took me to McDonald's because he was so mad at me because I didn't know how bad the neighborhood was. So go figure. You want to talk about learning the hard way about an area that you weren't familiar with. My cousin Terry, God rest in peace, really gave me a lecture that was for the ages. But, you know, I didn't know the area, but you live and learn. I had a Big Mac instead of what I could have had. So what can I do? That's my.
Well, I'll tell you, put a thing on this whole thing is, and I don't know why, you know, the Dodgers like to spend a lot of money. I don't know why they don't hire us three guys to paint the damn place. The place needs a paint job, if you ask me. And you're right. You know, Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, you know, old stadiums and everything. But, you know, these are three teams that got a lot of money where they can do some renovations big time. Why don't you fix up the damn joint, man? I see the statues outside your stadium and everything, and that looks fine, well, and dandy, but come on, man, paint the parking lot, get some lines in there, do some stuff with it, put some restaurants out there, get it, you know, to where it's amazing. You know, I take shots on my Pirates, but you know what? We probably got the best damn stadium in baseball, PNC Park with the Roberto Clemente Bridge next to Heinz Field. Come on, man. We got the Three Rivers. You guys got all this money in Los Angeles, and you can't even afford paint from Sinclair Paints or Pittsburgh Paints. Bruce, any final thoughts, and then we'll give it over to you to put your topic out there.
Okay. Well done. I like the tirade. I haven't been to PNC Park, but when I've watched it on television, it looks fine. Oracle's great. You know, what can I say? You've said it all, Mark. I'll give you one last comment to Scott, and then you can pass it around again.
Unreal.
Scott, yeah, it is unreal.
Well,
what do you want to add to it, Scott?
I never thought I'd see a show where we'd be endorsing Pittsburgh Paints, but evidently I definitely understand the point, and I definitely understand the humor. I went to Three River Stadium, and one of my fondest memories, obviously, wasn't watching the Lions losing the Pittsburgh Steelers, although we were good at that for a while, unless they came to the Silverdome, it was a different story. But can I give you guys a great memory I have from Three Rivers Stadium, since I haven't been to the new place?
Yeah.
Because I'll never forget the time when I was great friends with Detroit Free Press and News Hall of Fame writer Joe Falls. Rest in peace, Joe. I got a lot of RIPs today, but this was unbelievable. So you want to talk about a poker face, Bruce and Mark? Here's one, okay? I told Joe I had a feeling that Elvis Gerback was going to go ahead and get drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. I said, I have a source that's telling me that that's what they're going to do. Now, okay, Joe says, no, Scotty, you know, I really need to know this source of information, okay, because somehow, you know, again, we're journalists, guys, okay? So we're out here trying to go out there and have our source to break the story. So I had the biggest straight-faced poker-faced guys you could ever see, I swear to you. And I said, all right, Joe, I put my hand around his arm, so here's the deal, okay? Since Jerry Glanville at that time was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. It said since he couldn't go out there and get Elvis Presley to claim his tickets to Will Call, he's going to do the next best thing, get former Michigan quarterback Elvis Gurr back. And let me tell you, Joe broke out into the biggest laugh I've ever seen. He said, Scotty, you had me. That was awesome. Good stuff. And Joe and I, and by the way, for whatever it's worth, he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame in the writer's wing. So, you know, connect with some really good people. So there you go.
Well, here
now,
we go.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's Three River Stadium. You're a Pittsburgh guy. I don't think we got
that. I love it. Hey, Darius from Peoria, Illinois goes, Scott just brought up an interesting point. I want to know the biggest drunks in as far as coaches go. Here's my top five. Tony La Russa, who can't manage worth a dime ever since he left Oakland and St. Louis. Number one drunk. The other one is the Elvis lookalike there that played his toots in Atlanta, Jerry Glanville. third one is Jack Del Rio that's taking shots at what happened at the January 6th thing.
Oh, boy.
Fourth
one is Bum Phillips.
And the fifth one, guys, is going to be Jimmy Johnson. How many times did he eat at a hometown buffet in Dallas and Miami?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark.
Bruce.
To this guy.
Yeah.
Man, hey, this guy's really sharp is what he is. Hey, what's this guy's name that just mentioned? I like this.
Darius.
Darius from Peoria, Illinois.
Hey, Darius, I'm a fan of yours now, pal. I love it when you go out
there.
That's really what drives this boat.
That's
puppy.
The research,
Darius,
there.
I'll tell you what. Look
you
can be a guest on one of our shows, okay? You've earned my respect. Go ahead and look us up, and we'll make it happen with you and I and Mark. And we'll have you as a guest on one of the shows. I can't wait to see how many more comparisons you have. Good stuff, Al.
Wow. Tony La Russa.
Very good. Very good, Mr. GDY.
Yeah. Here's a guy that walks Trey Turner with a 1-2 pitch to get the Max
right.
Muncy, who jacks a home run off of him. And then proceeds to flip him over there in the opposing dugout. What's
real.
Bruce,
yeah,
anything you want to talk about? But because we've been raving
and raving
about Dodger Stadium, Three Rivers, drunks,
yeah.
As far as coaches go.
I can't. There's a couple of things. That was a tour de force virtuoso performance by Steph Curry last night. And everybody played fairly well behind him. Excellent win for the Warriors. But beyond that, I'm going to make a little bit of a commentary on, you know, the Celtic fans, like, basically, you know, dropping the F-bombs on Draymond during the whole game, et cetera, et cetera. His kids get to hear it. As an attendee of a lot of Warrior games, and this is well before the Curry era, there was a ban on swearing in the stadium. Now, I was a heckler, believe me. There was one time where I was heckling the Warriors really bad. We were getting blown out, as usual, back in the day. And then two guys chimed in, but they started swearing. And immediately security seized him. They pointed at me, and it was like, he didn't swear. Now, I'm kind of in agreement with that. And Boston fans have sort of a notorious, how should we say, or the city itself even, has a notorious racial problem, or has in the past. And if you read a book called The Last Pass about the Bob Cousy, Bill Russell relationship back then and the Boston fans, you need to read it. I'm not going to describe it all, but they don't have a very good rep. And for them to do that does not show a lack of, or it shows a lack of class, and they ought to lay off. You know, like I said, it was banned. The kids don't need to hear it, especially the players' kids. And that's kind of got under my skin. I don't consider that necessary. And there was one other thing. I thought there was a couple of bad calls in that. There was one where the foul was called on Pritchard, but Pritchard traveled to three different continents before the foul even happened. I thought the Warriors overcame a few things. I thought it was a great win. I'm looking forward to this series. I think it's going to go 7.
Well, before I give it over to you, Scott, I think the downfall of this country the last few years has been two words and two words only. a lot of aggression and a lot of violence, and it's being directed at some of these players. We've seen it in New York with these drunks throwing full beers at the Cleveland Guardian players a month or so ago. We've seen it transpire in San Diego with the Dodger fans. You need lifetime bans. I've said that before. You gotta really do it. And now we see it with the Celtics and respectable fan base there. I mean, they're going for their 18th NBA championship. But, you know, you can't drop F-bombs at kids in the stands and everything. Complete lifetime bans. I mean, if there's no accountability being led in this world today, this is what it's coming down to. And that's what it is. A lack of accountability across the board in this country has been the downfall. Scott, and then Bruce, you can comment on it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Mark, one last thing. It's like with the thing with the Boston fans is there's a ton of them. You can't throw everybody out. It's not like the one individual I was talking about at the Warriors game. So that's, you know, they're doing this in unison so that everybody gets to hear it, and that's including the TV audience. And one last thing on the Del Rio comment, that was really dumb. It's like they're not having Senate hearings over the George Floyd riots. It's like, really? You're making that comparison? No way, man. That's just another how should we say, gut punch to the Washington organization. There you go.
Yeah, I think the problem is just because fans think that they can go out there and spend a lot of money doesn't give them the right to act any way they want. That's all I can tell you. You know, but they send the same thing in. I remember once upon a time when in Detroit they had the Malice at the Palace where Ron Artest
cast.
And he climbed into the fans. But, you know, let's think about it. I think it's too bad, you know, the fan aggression and their attitude. I've seen a couple of games in Boston at the Boston Garden. They are great basketball fans. It's a great sports town. It's just a shame that certain people ruin it for others. It really, really is. But I think that fan behavior these days, they have to be held accountable as well. I mean, the players are there to entertain. Let's not lose sight. Entertain, okay? And I don't think a lot of the NBA players have helped the situation any either, because you've got so many guys taking off for load management and demonstrating lazy work habits about when they want to play. And then when you calculate a lot of the drama, you know, so they're fueling some of the anger for individuals that are paying a lot of money. So I think there's responsibility that actually has to be held around, but that's no excuse for fans to misbehave at all, you know, regardless of how much money you paid. And I want to point out a situation that happened to me many years ago when my brother and I and two other friends went to the New Jersey Devils, and when the Red Wings were in the finals, we wore a Red Wing jersey. We didn't think it was a big deal, but we were harassed by fans, and we left after two periods because it wasn't safe. So the New Jersey Devils, to me, their fans were just antagonizing, and you know, there's something to be said about an area, the way they have to treat their, you know, people instead of just trying to go out there and become obnoxious. So we ended up leaving and wasn't a big deal. But the point is accountability, you know, treat other ones right. And I think that, you know, cities and stadiums have to be, have to have a little bit more cameras out there and account.
Right.
And I think it's a joke. It really is. It's sad about all the aggression, Marco.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, Scott. And I was at a Red Wing Devil game years back when they played in the Meadowlands, and that was interesting. I mean, it was hard. Yeah, it was opening night for the NHL. It had to be in '96, I believe. And, wow, it was hardly packed and everything. But, yeah, Sheila from Vail, Colorado, works for American Airlines. Listening to, on this show as she's driving with a friend, she said, guys, this is an interesting show. You should have the top five rudest fan bases in this country. I've been in a lot of stadiums, and here's my top five. The worst has to be Boston. Number two is New York. Number three is Los Angeles. Number four is Dallas. And number five is going to be Alabama football.
you could throw the later fans in there,
I'm surprised,
too.
Bruce and Scott, that Philadelphia didn't make the cut with her.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I don't know what your five are. I know my five. Bruce and Scott. Bruce, do you want to chime in on this? Because we know we're five now.
Sure. Sure. And although I used to be one, the Raider fans were pretty obnoxious, no matter where they were. Philadelphia's got to be up there. I remember they used to have a jail at Veterans Stadium. They booed Mike Schmidt. God. I'll go with Boston on that. God, this is hard because I haven't been in as many stadiums as you guys. I'm sorry, cerebral flatulence here. You guys take over.
Scott, right, give it over to you. We have just passed 402.
Excellent. Keep on listening, folks. We're working hard to make sure we have a lot of interesting stuff. You know what? I got to put the New Jersey people on there after that one experience.
there's a lot of people in Jersey.
Yeah, they're a little bit rough there. You know what? Bruce, got to put Philly on there. If you're going to have a jail in the stadium, my goodness.
Yeah.
Put Boston, I don't know, New York, anywhere from the Northeast where they tend to be a little aggressive. All I can say about New York people here, and I really enjoy interacting with a lot of them, but get on I-95 and they're, the word honk horn is something that you can hashtag all day long because they get on your nerves on the road as well as they get on your nerves in the stadium. I've never been to an Alabama football game. Can't comment there. Maybe the Raiders might fall into that category. But see, I have a different approach. I don't go to games as a fan. I go as a member of the media, so I just stay in the press box and let them all go after each other. So, I don't know. What can I say? We're forced to keep quiet up there and do our job, and, you know, I wouldn't really have it any other way anyway. So if I have to start sitting with a bunch of people that are going to scream their lungs out and rather stay home and appear on radio shows, I enjoy doing that anyways. But, yeah, Philadelphia, New Jersey are definitely at pretty close to the top of my list.
Boston, well, New York's number one. Yeah, New York's number one with me, and I think these guys, I mean, they're just belligerent. I mean, they are just absolutely crazy. You know, I don't know if the security guards are on the take over there in New York, too, letting these people come in. Maybe they give them, you know, a meatball sandwich from Vinny's down the street or whatever. But this is a debacle with these New York people, man, in the stadiums there. So New York, for me, would be – they got the worst. Philly, they boo Santa Claus, and I do a show out of Philly, WWDB. Those guys are belligerent, man, too. So you're right. They boo Mike Schmidt. You know, they boo anything. You know, if you're not blue-collar there, you know, and you don't fit that city, they'll railroad you out. Number three's got to be L.A. I mean, the women are nice to look at out here at the stadium. And matter of fact, they just booted one out last week that was doing a dance and kind of thought she was Shakira and was dropping her top. So they escorted her out of the place. But that might have been the highlight as the Mets were kicking the Dodgers' ass. But that place is a complete travesty. Those fans are actually Raider fans that were Los Angeles Raider fans until they moved back up to Oakland. So that Dodger crowd, I can't stand. The number four would have to be the Raiders. They're absolutely belligerent. You know, I don't know where these guys must put the outfits on. Must take them 6 days to get ready for Sunday to put this outfit on.
Right.
I hear they're all doctors and lawyers and stuff, and that's all well-being. But, man, that garb, man, it just seems like everything they own is dressed in black. That would be number four. Number five, this would be a shocker to say, but I would have to look at, you know, what's going down there in Dallas with the Cowboy fans. That's another belligerent. They take the side of Jerry Jones. Everybody thinks it's America's team. What? But come on, man. The Steelers were given that America's team, and they declined it, and the Cowboys ran with that with the Braves. Cowboy fans are going to be the worst, too. That's my five.
Well, you
any
know
final
what?
Thoughts, Bruce?
Well, final thoughts, then. Well, the Braves, the tomahawk chop always got to me. And, yeah, the America's team, it's like I never was that – I was kind of didn't like the Cowboys, but I really started to hate them after the America's team thing. Or the holes in the stadium so God can watch. Ugh. Yeah, Dallas,
yeah. Yeah, what have you won to be America's team in the last 10 years? Scott.
Well, just go for it.
Well, you know what? New York didn't help its case out when I heard about the sucker punch that landed a couple of fans this week at all. And I got to tell you an interesting Philadelphia story when I was covering the Phillies in Clearwater. Some of those fans were so nasty with Von Hayes when he was involved in a 6-for-1 trade that I said, the heck with other interviews. I decided to interview Von Hayes. Turned out to be a great story. And he wasn't too complimentary of him either. So, but, yeah, unfortunately, New York didn't help their case with the guy that got sucker punched. There were two people that the fan was barred for life. And a couple people got hit there. So, you know, sorry, New York. You know, love you, but you can't go sucker punching people over a hockey
game. Exactly. Hey, Mike from Chelmsford, Massachusetts, and I hate to cut you. We're down about less than 5 minutes in this show. But he chimes in. He goes, I got the biggest convicts, my top three convicts of all sports. Michael Vick is number one. Deshaun Watson, 24 women, 66 massages with happy endings is number two. And Wade Boggs having a girlfriend or a mistress in every city is number three.
I'm on fire today, Mark and Bruce. They really are. I love it. Look at these people. I mean, think about it. We're talking about conduct. We're talking about
Bruce,
behavior.
I don't know what's the worst.
We have a great
This guy wants us to vote on it.
Well, now hold on. Boggs didn't commit crimes, all right? So he was a sleazeball, but he wasn't a criminal. How could you skip Alden Smith?
Alden Smith
got arrested for everything, guns, drinking, car crashes, you name it. Alden Smith blows Wade Boggs away. In fact, he might blow everybody away.
Well, you know what?
I'll
reiterate what I just said moments ago. Our audience is on fire today. The topic
yes,
and the feedback
are.
We're getting. I've been on this show for a fair amount of time now, and you guys are out there in our audience. Deserve to me a big kudos and 48 points, you know what that means, and bold print. You guys are awesome, baby, as Dick Vitale would say. Everything you're hitting us with, that's okay. Who cares about the local stuff? I love commenting on everything you guys are throwing our direction. This is a dynamo, man. Proud of you. Just make sure you guys are even better next week.
Yeah, as we wind this thing down, less than 2 minutes, I think Deshaun Watson takes the cake out of all these guys. $230 million payroll. The Cleveland Browns look the other way. 24 women have come forward. 66 massages. One in happy endings. When you got $230 million, if you got a problem with the penis, then you need to go get yourself a woman every night and deal with that. I don't understand these 66 massages. And how are you going to defend that along with the 24 women? Good luck with them. We'll find out what Roger Goodell does with this thing. You think you hear everything, and the Wade Boggs thing is interesting, too. Married with all these women across the country. Wow, man, that's going to be an expensive cabin. One guy's chiming in. Hey, Alex Cora, I can't play right now. I'll see you at the practice field for batting. I got to go meet a woman that I met last time we were in town. Bruce, how can everybody get a hold of you till next week, my friend?
Okay, you can get a hold of me at holyroller91978@gmail.com, and I'm on Facebook as well.
Oh, I love it. Scott, as we give it over to you, as you're propping the fan base out there with the bullhorn, how can everybody get a hold of you?
All right. Well, you know what? First and foremost, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune, Tribune, YouTube channel. Mark and I are on a lot. And at Tribune South. And go to our website, www.southfloridatribune.com. But please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're building some good stuff, man. Mark, Madman, Bruce, hopefully get you on one of these days. But this is awesome. So go to the website.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If we were looking for a sponsor for this show, the only thing I can think of is open up a can of whoop-ass by Stone Cold Steve Austin and start pouring it over your heads because this show went through the roof. For Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, Scott Morgenroth in South Florida, Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version. Thanks for the listenership today as we stand here and build this thing up each and every week. We're going to an hour soon. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. And let us know who makes your top picks next week, the dumps of next week, if you go to some ballparks, and maybe the fan bases. Love to hear that. Till then, have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.
Awesome, baby.